When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When Sweet Tarts dared to combine sweet and tart, they thought, why stop there? Why not create other exciting and unexpected combinations, like rainbows and ropes, or fruity and gummy, or chewy and more chewy? That's why they created fun treats like Sweet Tarts Twisted Rainbow Ropes, Gummies Fruity Splits, and Chewy Fusions. When you dare to combine, it's sure to blow your mind. Sweet Tarts, dare to combine. Visit SweetTartsCandy.com to shop now.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you.
It's the Final Word World Cup Daily. Adam Collins and Cam Ponsonby. Day 36. The game was between New Zealand and Sri Lanka at the mighty Chinnaswamy in Bangalore. We're here for Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City. We are recording this about 1 kilometre from Westfield London, where I am going tonight. More on that later. More extra, less ordinary. To begin, Cam, the game in 30 seconds.
New Zealand are, in all likelihood, semi-finalists for the 5th World Cup in a row. They've swept aside Sri Lanka by 5 wickets, despite a most fantastically entertaining innings by Kusal Perera at the top, 50 off 22 balls. It was absolute carnage, 70 for 5 at the end of the power play. What the fuck's going on? They blocked their way to 170. A more accurate description of it is 100 and false hope, basically. They were never, ever, ever going to defend it. New Zealand cruised there. The five wicket win suggests there might have been an element of jeopardy at some point. No, wrong. They were home, cruised it all the time.
Yeah, got there in 23.2 overs. They made half the runs they required with their opening partnership. Conway 45, Ravindra 42, both batting handily. They put 73 on for no wicket in the power play compared to Sri Lanka, 70 for 5 wickets, which was the fundamental difference in this game. Look, there's more to, obviously a lot more to take from this from New Zealand than there is Sri Lanka. They're in the semis again. They always find a way of getting there. New Zealand's build-up to this tournament, Cam, was ropey. They looked second rate against England, who also looked kind of second rate. But I made the observation at the time, possibly with you, that for whatever reason, major tournaments bring out the best in New Zealand. They can find a way to play near enough their best cricket. And even here, after losing 4 games on the trot, this became a must-win game. And suddenly, Trent Bolt's back in form. 2 wickets in an over, 3 for 30-odd. Runs again from Ravindra and Conway have both made runs through the tournament. Ravindra more than anyone in the competition. 43 for Daryl Mitchell from 31 balls, who is seemingly always in form. It wasn't the perfect chase, losing 5 wickets in the second half, but they knew that all they had to do really was win, but doing it well enough that net run rate's no longer a factor, they can take a load off and enjoy a couple of days off.
Yeah, I think the idea that they're playing their best cricket is kind of, they're a very low volatile team. New Zealand, their ceiling and their floor is pretty close together. They've made it to the semi-finals with 5 wins and 4 losses. It's a bit of a bizarre scenario where they're going to have this massive winner takes the final match next week against India, and they're off the back of 1 win in 5.
Yeah,
I remember in terms of like their preparation, I think I heard Michael Atherton make this point, and normally if he says anything, I tend to just agree with it automatically. But he kind of pointed to New Zealand actually in terms of their preparation. In the last year, they've played ODI series in Bangladesh, Pakistan and India. And kind of regardless of how those results went, it gives them a sense of the environment and where they're playing. And so when it's come to these matches, they've kind of won the matches they should win, and they've lost the matches they kind of, inverted commas, like should lose kind of thing, to be potentially too overly simplistic about it. But the result is they're this picture of consistency in international cricket. 5 semi-finals in a row is a remarkable achievement for any nation. And now all of a sudden we kind of like, we're one Glenn Phillips kind of like 100 off 60 away from like turning India over.
Yeah, and look, you're right about the winning the games they had to win, because they had that soft start, didn't they? It was England in game one, the defending champions, who now in hindsight looks like a soft start. It wasn't, but the way they bossed that game at Ahmedabad, which feels like about 100 days ago.
It was.
Then they had the three games consecutively, which included the Dutch, Afghanistan and Bangladesh. Afghanistan before they really ramped it up, and Bangladesh, who ended up being a massive letdown in this tournament. They lose four games, but in two of them, they make 400 against Pakistan, yes, and they make 382 against Australia. So it was never a real concern about where their batting was at, although they did get thrashed by South Africa in their most recent start. They batted pretty well against India as well, making 300 odd, and that was chased down with four overs to spare. I guess my point is that I wrongly thought they might be collateral damage of a side who were trying to push it with the same group of players to one last tournament, you know, with issues around Kane Williamson, but it hasn't really played out that way. They've got Ravindra, who's taken a massive step up. I mentioned he's got more runs in the tournament than anybody now. He played some lovely pull shots tonight. One shot over long off to die for against the new ball. Mitchell, who has the ability to put pressure on straight away, reverse sweep first ball that he faced. Next over, a booming drive over long off for six. Next over, a reverse lap. Like, he's got the tricks, but he's got the ability to put pressure on. And then Conway, who is the definition of stability at the top of the list.
I think you can always judge a team by kind of the best player that's not in the 11 at the moment. And for New Zealand at the moment, their kind of selection dilemma of this World Cup was, when Williamson comes fit, is it Will Young or Ravindra?
Yeah.
And at the start of the competition, that's probably a kind of weak spot in that side, to be cruel to both of them. And our kind of hindsight now shows that both players have scored runs in this World Cup, and Ravindra's having this breakout tournament where we've all decided, and I'm on board the bandwagon of like, right, great, you're the next generational player of the next decade. Thank you very much. We're going to enjoy watching you play. And so that's the kind of, they are a very comfortable, it's the difference between when things go badly, it's too cozy. When things go well, it's players comfortable in their environment. And so we have that with England at the moment. We go, okay, maybe it's a kind of bit too cozy, a bit too nice, a bit too much lads. They've stayed on for one more World Cup when they shouldn't have done. And with New Zealand, it's like, oh, you know what's great? They can just call Tim Southee and he can have a role when they have an injury crisis. It's like, brilliant.
Yeah, and Southee missed out towards the end in 2019, didn't play the final. But guys that did, right, Lachie Ferguson, 2 for 35 today. Mitchell Sutton, 2 for 22 from 10, the most economical analysis of the tournament. Admittedly, at that stage, I think they were reduced to 113 for 8 in the 24th over. No. So they were playing for time for the last 23 overs and trying to drag it out. So those figures are affected that way. But still, the point stands that they've got big game experience making a World Cup final, beating India in a semi 4 years ago, and tying England on two different measures. And Trent Bolt said before, two wickets in an over, which proved the turning point. He ends up with 3 for 37. And he spoke, as man of the match, he spoke after play about his adaptability. You know, he's been to India like 50 times. If anyone's going to be able to be versatile enough and back himself against the might of India, it's that left armer leading the attack still.
As you mentioned, he took all three wickets, well, all three of his wickets came in the power play. He had that kind of one man of the match afterwards. And it kind of snuck past me that he wasn't having the best World Cup. Sometimes when players have such a proven ability, you just kind of go, they'll be fine. And like, I think that's kind of where New Zealand sat on the matter, and also where it looks like it may end up, in that he's now going to the semi-final with form. He's also got, to give him the second name check of the show, Atherton was talking about Mitchell Santner today. And he was in love with him. I couldn't believe how much like joy he was speaking about him. He was saying he was his favourite bowler to watch in the competition.
Wow.
And I was like, Mitchell Santner.
I love that.
And he was kind of, I was like,
the thinking man's
bowler. I was like, what the fuck have I been watching the wrong sport? I don't understand. And he was just there, and he was like, oh God, I can't remember who was on calls. He turned to him and he was like, he reminds me a bit of Bishan Bedi. Did you face Bishan Bedi? I was like, how the fuck is this Mitchell Santner? It's very. I'm sure we'd get on very, very well, but I can't say he's kind of been the most entertaining player of my
generation. We've always liked him on the final word. Oh, well, we watched him play against Australia, Adelaide. I think it was his test debut in 2015, and I always liked the cut of his jib, as you were. But I think with Santner, it's that he has the ability to push it through at 95 kilometres an hour and hold it back, yep. And he's clever, and he's got enough tricks on that front that it makes up for the fact that at the end of the day, like you and me, he's a finger spinner after all.
We are very similar bowlers. I always think this. It was a real club. And since we're talking about club cricket now, it was a real club cricket innings from Sri Lanka, in that they had one opener. He was just like, oh, fuck it, I'm going to whack it. Basically,
I've got a wedding to go to.
Yeah, like, let's clear the ropes. Let's go. Mm. All the other top orders, when they were trying to score runs, were getting out, and then the tail came in and went, oh, we're just going to block it because we have nothing else to do. And
we'll take Sharma 38 not out from 91 balls.
I've got two stats for you about that innings.
Okay.
A, it's his joint highest score in professional cricket.
Yeah.
And two, it's his longest ever innings in professional cricket. And I can tell you now a third stat. This is from at HHA on Twitter. Mahesh Tikshana has faced more balls, 185, in this World Cup than Johnny Bairstow, Joss Butler, Harry Brook, Liam Livingstone, and Moeen Ali.
Doesn't take many to face more than Moeen Ali's facing this.
It's been
comp.
Tough. But yeah, it was a really bizarre period where between overs 20 and 30, Sri Lanka scored 14 runs. And this was when Santner was basically just dropping it on a length. It was kind of like they'd stopped the bleeding, but they weren't getting closer to the hospital. They were not in a good way. They were always going to kind of... That innings was never going to end with joy.
Yeah, they needed, from that point, something very, very special to happen with the ball. And it tends to be Madushanka, who, you know, they're on the way home tonight, Sri Lanka. That's their last game. They'll be on the flight. I'm not sure, Sri Lankan Airlines flight, SA427, back to Colombo. And look, once you've been eliminated, you may as well be the first team to finish. But Madushanka ends with the most wickets thus far in the tournament. Been super impressive up front. Wickets in the first over, at least on two occasions, maybe three. Went for runs in the power play today. Tikshana was way short of his best. He batted for a long time, but he gave...
He's tired.
Yeah, he's knackered. He gave so many four balls up top. They had to take him off and bring Dhananjaya on. Dhananjaya went the distance, 22 runs from two overs, both bowled in the power play. It took them until over number nine to bring on Chimira, who's comfortably their most threatening bowler, their quickest by 10 kilometres an hour. And as soon as he was into the attack, he hits Conway on the gloves and gets him out, caught at mid-wicket and over later. And I'm not saying they had a chance at that point, but if the benefit of hindsight, they're giving him the new ball and seeing whether they can ruffle a few feathers. But I suppose we've reached that stage of the tournament with Sri Lanka. They've opened with spin almost throughout. They weren't going to change plans now, but... Ange Matthews picks up a couple, Williamson chops him on, Big Ange had a big week, but it was pretty clear that New Zealand didn't care how many wickets they lost at the end. They just wanted to make absolute certain of the fact that net run rate wouldn't be a factor with Pakistan.
I was happy with them, Sri Lanka going Madushanka and Tikshana again, because I just kind of think you are the two best bowlers, like hopefully we get the wickets and give yourself a chance basically. And Madushanka, I think what's so promising about him is he's a two-trick pony as opposed to one. So he has these like massive booming in-swingers with the new ball, which are very kind of like Shaheen-esque. Then he also has the off-cutter where he really rips his kind of fingers down the side of the ball.
The one he bowled to Rohit to knock him out.
Exactly, the one he got to Rohit. And it was such a surprise delivery, because I think everyone who watched that ball in the moment or saw Rohit Sharma bowled Madushanka over one or whatever, everyone knows what that dismissal looks like in their head. They go, okay, that's a big hooping in swing. That's either hit him on the pad or clean bowled him. And then you go and watch it and you go, oh my God, he's done him on the outside edge as well. Okay, now, can he do him both ways?
What does his career look like, Cam, do you think? You're more in touch with, I guess, the modern market-oriented T20 and so on. Yeah. Does Madushanka now go into the pot and end up an IPL player? Is that realistic for him? Or does he... how would you frame up the probability of him being a Sri Lankan player even in 4 or 5 years' time? Is he the kind of guy who might be a full-time circuiteer, or might he be taking the red ball for Sri Lanka in Test cricket? What's your best guess?
Well, it's one of the movers and shakers of the modern franchise world. I was going to drop Michael Klinger, general manager of Washington Freedom Alliance. I've seen this lad on the TV, actually. I think he might go well against the Seattle Orcas and cause them some trouble. But you're right. It's a skill that exists across both formats. Like if you can swing the new ball and bolt, your cutters are your white ball skill. But if you're able to swing the ball with control and at pace, that's a red ball skill. So he has had one test.
Played a test, didn't get a wicket.
For Sri Lanka, no wickets, and that was earlier this year. It was in July. He's actually debuted in all three formats within the last 18 months. So it's such a boon for Sri Lanka.
Got a bit about him. Unfortunately for Pakistan in all of this, for the second consecutive World Cup, they're going to lose out to New Zealand for the final spot on the basis of net run rate, provided that is Pakistan beat England, which you can take as assumed, I suppose, in this conversation at least. As Mike Atherton, to name check him a third time. Hello,
today.
If you're listening. they need to, if they make 300 against England, they need to bowl out England for 13.
Those weren't his names.
The Stato's passes. That's fine, though. That's part of the job in TV, to absorb the information and regurgitate it. Yeah. And if they bowled out England for 50, they need to make it in 2.3 overs. I like that scenario more. What about the bowl out England for 32? That's the way that Pakistan have a route through. But let's assume that that doesn't happen and England deny them that that miracle. It'll be New Zealand on 5 and 4, as it was last time. And the other comparison to 2019 is that New Zealand had the soft draw to start there, made the most of it. Had a wobble in the middle of the World Cup, lost to Australia, lost to India, lost to England, made the semi on the back of a win on the final day, net run rate, can't remember who it was against, and then knocked off India in the most stunning two-day semi-final. Now, they're going to be playing India again. It's going to be at Mumbai. I mean, now we know Pakistan can't make it. That guarantees they'll be back at the work rest and play for that semi against India. And then, I mean, dead a dream. I mean, it's got to be... Well, it'd have to be a Conway, Ravindra, Mitchell... You know, it would have to be one of the batters, right? Like, it would have to be one of those guys absolutely teeing off and it working.
I think, yeah, I think for, I'm surprised we're ruling out Pakistan. I can see a world where Fakhar gets up 200, Pakistan put on 430, England rolled for 185, done.
Is that another scenario
I think it's...
Is it 430, 185? That's more likely than 330.
The stats I saw were, it was like a 246 run win, and I've just written it and sent it to a publication that is the case, so I really fucking hope it is, basically.
Great journalism. We always support great journalism standards here on The Final Word.
That's what I saw. It was like cricket advice. I was like, cricket my boozy. Okay, cool. There's a way. It's possible. But in terms of...
It's a bit like, actually, to be fair, only 2 nights ago, the Crick Info probability meter had Australia at a 0.8% chance of winning.
I think that was correct as well.
Or maybe a 0.2% chance of winning, whatever it was. And they did win that game. So, you know, so you're saying there's a chance in Dumb and Dumber speak.
Absolutely. I think with New Zealand, you've kind of got to play a game against India of, okay, do we back them to shit themselves or are we going to shit ourselves and play differently kind of thing? Do we need to play above our normal level? Are New Zealand happy to go and have a bat first, get themselves to 300 within their means and be like, that's pressure, we've got the bowling attack, we can defend that. But then someone would be like, oh, you need to throw a punch against India, or do you throw that punch, take that risk and risk getting bowled out for 180?
I'd bat. I think that, you know, what you're describing there about finals, this may not be fashionable anymore, but, you know, batting first and having runs on the board and backing your batters to be good enough to get a more than competitive total. You're going to have to live a little. You're not going to get away with 260. They got away with 240 in that two-day semi at Manchester, but there was a tacky surface and they gamed those conditions and their bowlers started brilliantly. But they're going to have to bat first and, you know, do it with a side who can deliver 350 plus. It might be that James Neesham comes back in and they go, you know, proven big stage player and so on, that they take the punt on the fifth bowler on the basis that they're going to have to make bulk runs.
Can you imagine if New Zealand beat them and we get to the final at the Modi Stadium, 130,000 people, and the attendance is in the minus figures?
It could be 12 or 13,000 there, yeah.
Fuck, I'm nervous. Maybe
I'm looking forward to it. Whatever happens, it'll be fun. Right, time for us to move along to the Final Word Hall of Fame.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
The Final Word Hall of Fame is brought to you by, as I'm sure you're aware, Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City. Said we're just down the road. This morning I was no more than 500 metres from here and I could see Westfield London, and that's where I'm going later today to skate. It is the first night of the skating, the ice skating. Rach, my wife, said to me as I left the house today, you're uncoordinated. If you hit the ice, roll, fall with your hands in.
Wow, okay.
So no one skates over your fingers. I'm like, now what do you think every second I'm on the ice tonight?
So if you fall ice skating, you've got to fall. You can't put
your hands down. I didn't know this.
Yeah, muscle memory is going to take over there. There's no chance you don't try and break your fall.
Yeah, well, anyway, that's the last thing she said to me. So I guarantee I'll break my face when I pull my elbows in. Something along those lines. And I don't have any bloody gloves gloves either. I didn't expect to be coming out this evening. But that's what's happening. Don't get your fingers chopped off. Enjoy skating around. That's not a great sell, is it? I'm sure people who are inclined to go skating will have more experience.
You can look at the tree.
And tonight is the night when they turn on the tree, I think, something like that. So the biggest Christmas tree, we're told it's the biggest in Europe.
Yep.
As of tonight, it'll be the biggest in the world. That's what we're going to report. With skating, jump on Google Westfield London. There's a dedicated link to the skating as well, which I'll try and remember to put in the show notes. But you're all grown-ups. You'll be able to find the Westfield London skating link by Googling Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City, more extra, less ordinary. And I'll report back tomorrow when Afghanistan are playing South Africa in what is tantamount to a dead rubber, because we know it's South Africa playing Australia in one semi, and Afghanistan with their net run rate in the negatives would need, well, they need to make 1,000.
Yeah, no one's even done those maths. That's how far away it is.
That would be fun. I want to know those maths. What do Afghanistan theoretically need to do? I just took a message from a colleague who's writing an article about Afghanistan right now asking, is there any way of doing it? And that was my assessment. They have to make like 1,000 or something like that. But still, I'm sure they'll give it everything, because they've been a real bright spot of this tournament. Of course, New Zealand's next game's the semi. Sri Lanka are flying home, and we're into the last few days of this group stage. Your final web moment of the day, Cam?
I've got two, actually. One I really enjoyed. So when New Zealand were in the kind of at peak powers in the first innings and really had the wraps over Sri Lanka, Glenn Phillips got the lid out and he fielded at short leg, silly point, the slip position where he's on his knees, and then he also did a very short leg slip as well. So he basically just did a little laps and laps of the batter, and never really went to him that much, but it was very exciting, enjoyed it nonetheless. And then also Daryl Mitchell, who get two mentions, I believe, in this go, is he reviewed, went in the field, they had an LBW shout against someone, and he's gone, no, lads, I promise you this is out. Like, I think he's hit his pad and whatever, comes up on the screen. They don't even go to ultra. He literally middles it into his pad, and all the New Zealand fielders just piss themselves laughing and just go like, Daryl, off, mate. On we go.
He didn't do himself many favours today, Dazzler. Now, we are massive Daryl Mitchell fans in these parts, so don't take it personally if you're listening, big fella. But the way he barbecued Mark Chapman, hooly dooly. Chapman tries to skew it away, tries to whack it away, skews it off the bottom of the bat, spits out to short third. Mitchell just fucking calls it. He's hounding down to the and to be fair, it actually is the non-striker's call in that situation. But Chapman immediately says no. And he roars at no. But Mitchell keeps coming, runs through the crease. So when the bails are taken at the non-striker's end, Chapman's got to go.
I find Mike Mitchell a very interesting case. I've been lucky enough to interview. Everyone roundly says he's a lovely, lovely person. But he's got quite an interesting dynamic in that dressing room. Because he's so good, he's so kind of powerful. So he's able to run and say to Chapman, like, on your bike, mate, I'm going to come in here. Lads, no, I know all you think is here, but actually we should review it. And then when we had that series against England where he kept on scoring hundreds, kept on dropping catches, and also at that moment where, like, he caught a ball on the bounce and just threw it in the air for a laugh and then chucked it away for runs. So I can imagine people like, Daryl, like, calm down. Daryl. Calm down. Score your hundreds. Home, and then we'll all relax.
And the way Chapman responded, I think I read somewhere that he whacked the LED ball on the way off the ground. So he's going to be
massive fine.
Be picking up a fine. You can't smack the LED boards. But Mark Chapman, he will bounce back at all the temptation to say something about Mark Chapman. And anyway, I'm not going to do that. That's it. That's it for us. This has been The Final Word. Our show's brought to you by Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City. Thank you, Cam. We're doing quite a lot of shows. It's not you and me tomorrow. I think it's Vish and me tomorrow. Then you and me on Saturday. Jeff's back on Saturday afternoon, and you and me on Sunday. It's a lot of it coming out of London, and then Jeff for the semi-finals and final and all the rest of it. Our weekend history show will be dropping in the feed on Friday. For those of you who don't follow us on the podcast places, do that, because that's where you get the full offering, not just YouTube, but on iTunes or Spotify or wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts. Okay, all right, that's it. New Zealand are into the semi-finals. Bye. And in my future questions, my current senses, that'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty.